Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for being part of our day. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. And my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And don't forget all the other things you can do there, including listen to past archives. Or I should say archives. That's kind of redundant, isn't it? Listening to archives of past shows with our good friend and our guest this half hour, Grace Marie Turner. Grace Marie is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, actually an original member of our Brain Trust, and just a great resource for us. Ladies and gentlemen, she's one of the world's top experts on healthcare public policy issues. She's the editor of an outstanding book called Empowering Healthcare Consumers Through Tax Reform, and she's the president of the Galen Institute. She's our good friend, Grace Marie. Welcome back.
Good morning, Jim, and congratulations for all you do to keep the small business community so well informed, and to give them information is the most important tool in this age that we're in, and you just do a fabulous job for your listeners, and I'm just delighted to be a small part of this conversation.
Well, I appreciate that, Grace Marie, and it's folks like you who support us and are so encouraging to me and our organization that helps an awful lot. Grace Marie, today is Election Day. Today's the day that
I'm honored to be here on Election Day and to talk with people about some of the important issues that may help them. If they haven't made up their mind yet, just send them over the top.
Who are those 359 people who haven't made up their mind, Grace Marie?
No. I wonder if they're listening to our show here.
I've been saying for weeks now that there are only 359 people in America who are undecided. We need to find out where they live and go talk to those people.
Yeah.
I already voted
today. I don't know about you.
You've already voted?
Went to my polling place at City Hall in Old Town Alexandria, where I live, and the line was around the block at 6:20 in the morning. The guy in front of me in line says, I've been voting here for 30 years, and I've never seen this before.
Holy mackerel. Well, you know, some people are predicting, what did we have, 106 million voted last time, I think, something like that, and which was up, I guess, from some previous elections. You know, we'd gone through a few election cycles where the participation was quite a bit less than 50% in the 47-48% range. This one, I think, this last one was around 51% of the voting population showed up. But I'm hearing some of the talking heads, some of the people who I think are supposed to know, are saying that maybe upwards to, plus or minus 120 million are going to vote.
I've heard that, too. And I think that's very realistic because of the incredible number of new voters who have been registered. And if you've taken the time and trouble to get yourself registered, you're very likely going to take the time and trouble to go vote.
Right.
And I think a lot of the people who are new registrants aren't showing up in the polls that we're seeing. And therefore, I think that it is absolutely wild card. And nobody knows how these voters are going to break and how they're going to tip the balance, and it only takes a few key states to really dramatically change the results of this election.
Well, and that is the key, isn't it? That it really doesn't matter all that much what happens in Montana or Tennessee or Texas, because or Maine, for example, or New York, because we basically know which way those states are going to go.
But they're very important because they aggregate the popular vote.
Right.
And it's really important, even in states where people think, oh, well, my state's going to go Kerry, my state's going to go Bush, it doesn't make any difference if I vote. It really matters, because whoever your candidate is, you want to make sure your vote counts toward the popular vote. And you just, as we see with President Bush, it's very difficult to govern if you don't have a popular majority.
Well, and look at what's happening in some of these states For example, Hawaii was deemed to be pretty safe for Kerry, and now it looks like it could be a toss-up.
Isn't that something they
just said? in the last 30 days?
Vice President Cheney flies to Hawaii to do a middle of the night rally, and on Sunday night, this is unheard of. Clearly, they would not have done that if they did not think it was possible to pick up those four electoral votes in Hawaii.
Right.
And of course, because the vice president went, then several of the Cheney family had to go, and I think former Vice President Gore went as well. So.
Mm-hmm.
Very fascinating to see Hawaii suddenly be in play.
Well, and another thing that's going on right now is happening in a state where we have quite a few radio stations, and that's Colorado. And when we come back, I want to talk about that a little bit, but we're going to get very quickly, folks, we're going to get into Grace Marie's wheelhouse, which is healthcare, public policy, and how we're going to get Grace Marie to compare and contrast the two candidates on that issue right after these messages. 22, we'll be right back with Grace Marie Turner, the president of the Galen Institute. Their website is galen.org.
You're not sitting there alone.
Love is strange. Lot of people take it for a game. Once you get it,
we're back at 1710. Little Mickey and Sylvia for you there. Grace Marie Turner is our guest and our good friend and the president of the Galen Institute. And Grace Marie, your website is galen.org, G-A-L-E-N, right?
That's right, .org.
And tell us what we'll find when we get there.
You'll find a lot of information about consumer-directed health care, about health savings accounts, about the Medicare prescription drug benefit and how beneficial these drug discount cards are for seniors, especially low-income seniors. A lot of stuff about how we can get the market to work in the health sector so we don't have to have government try to take it over.
Mm-hmm. And I want to come back to that, but I want to in a second. But before we go there, I want to remind people of something. To watch Colorado today, because Grace Marie, as you know, there's an initiative on the ballot to make the if it passes effective this election, the electoral votes, as you know, Grace Marie, the electoral votes could be distributed proportionally rather than winner takes all.
That's right, and that could start a trend that really, you know, the Constitution says that the electoral votes will determine the outcome of the presidential election, and when I went to vote this morning, I was voting for electors. I was not voting for the candidates themselves.
Right.
So that was really very clear evidence, but it's, you know, that's toying with the Constitution, and I think what we need is a direct discussion about that, whether
right.
or not the popular vote should prevail or we should continue to have the Electoral College. But I think the Electoral College does help to focus the campaign, and there's absolutely no way that candidates could spend equal time in all 50 states. And I think that just as New Hampshire is delegated to sort out the candidates and help pick a nominee, I think a lot of times the swing states help to really focus the candidates' messages and allow them to talk with real people and to have all of us, by virtue of the national media, to participate in that same conversation.
Well, where I disagree primarily with the Colorado thing is making it effective the day that the vote is made.
Yes, that's right.
See, that doesn't seem
it doesn't give people a chance to make their decisions based upon what the rules are going to be. You're changing the rules in a sense.
Well, what if it gets
so
close? What if what if the whole election is so close that literally we're counting votes in Colorado down to the nth degree, just to see if not to see who voted for president, but see how they voted for this one initiative.
Exactly, and then we'll have a constitutional challenge over Colorado's initiative in order to determine the outcome of the presidential election.
Mm-hmm. That could be.
What's that all about?
That is a scenario that could probably happen. But I shouldn't say probably. I don't know that about probably.
But could happen.
But it could happen. Grace Marie, let's talk about health care. Talk to us. What are some of the things you've been working on lately, and what do we need to know today on Election Day about health care public policy?
You know, the two presidential candidates have such dramatically different visions of what to do about the problems in the health sector. I don't think there is a greater contrast between Senator Kerry and President Bush on any issue that's more striking than on health care. President Bush does believe that we are now in an information economy. Consumers have a lot more choices. They have a lot more options. They have a lot more information about the choices available to them. They must have more control over the resources so that they can exert their own decisions about, make their own decisions about the care that they want. That's why he's such a huge proponent of health savings accounts, as am I. I think that they put power and control back in the hands of patients. They'll force the market to be more responsive to patients, not treat people like cattle that are being herded from one plan to another,
right,
and give people a lot more control over their decisions. Senator Kerry wants to lock in the current system we have that may have worked well enough for the 20th century. It is completely out of step with the next century.
And on many levels, Grace Marie, not only on the health care issues, but on the way people are employed, the way they're going to continue to be employed, and who's going to be paying these bills in the future, the health care insurance bills.
It's either going to be employers, the government, or individuals.
Mm-hmm. Individuals
are paying anyway. You pay either out of your salary or you pay out of your taxes.
Grace Marie, I saw a statistic the other day that I don't know if you've seen this or not, but what I saw was 60% of America's uninsured are either own or work for a small business.
That does not at all surprise me.
Now those people need help.
Where the problem is.
Those people need help, but I believe that none of those owners, especially, I don't know about the employees, but none of the owners want to look to the government to help them solve those problems.
They do not. Although there is an inequitableness in how the resources are distributed to help subsidize health insurance. People who work for big companies get a very generous tax subsidy for health insurance.
Right.
People who work for small companies have a much more difficult time, and if you are a small business owner, you have an even more difficult time finding health insurance. The president wants to offer refundable tax credits. That means even if you don't owe the amount that you're eligible for in the credits, you still get the money to purchase individually owned health insurance, and we want to create new purchasing cooperatives so that people will have someplace else to go other than an employment-based pool.
Like association health plans.
Association health plans get... Professional Associations, Labor Union.
That is really important. I want to talk about AHPs when we come back after these messages. It's 10 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Grace Marie Turner is our guest. She's the president of the Galen Institute.
Now it's time to go home. And he makes it fast with one more thing.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Grace Marie Turner, the president of the Galen Institute. That's galen.org, G-A-L-E-N.org. They can download your Empowering Healthcare Consumers Through Tax Reform book, can't they?
They can, and most it's on our website at galen.org.
PDF.
But most important, it's in Adobe.
Adobe, okay.
The PDF.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But most important, and small business people need to know there's absolutely no reason that they should continue to be burdened by trying to figure out how to do what they do with their own business and figure out how to take care of their employees with health insurance. Their employees, don't ask them to find their houses for them and to pick their car and to do their car insurance. What we need is a system in which people are empowered because they have the resources to go out and buy their own health insurance that they can keep from job to job and have the ability to put some money away in a savings account, a health savings account, so they can tide themselves over during lean times. That's what we need. And small businesses could just have this huge burden lifted from their shoulder. That's the way the economy is moving, and those are the policies the president's proposing.
Well, you know, Grace Marie, the marketplace is moving into is developing a much more independent spirit than it ever has had. The 21st century is the century of the entrepreneur. You've heard me say that since the 20th century.
So true.
And And so we've got to make sure that our public policy support system, which basically includes the tax system and some and a couple of strategic laws, support that movement. And
that's right.
And the thing that gets one of the most important things that could happen would be if we could have association health plans to allow groups like chambers of commerce to band together across state lines, which is now prohibited by state insurance laws, and which would become legal with the passage of the AHP law, which has passed the House 8 times and the Senate 0. It really irritates me, Grace Marie, when I hear senators, several of them, you know, throwing up how many uninsured there are in America into the face of some of the politicians, other politicians, while at the same time defeating or not voting for laws that would get a lot of millions of those people out of that category.
That's exactly right. And
there's a disingenuousness about that that, to me, in my opinion, that is just wrong.
Well, there are a lot of liberals who say if we cannot have 100% coverage of everything for everybody, we don't want to make any changes. And they're holding the line to make sure everybody has, you know, the comprehensive health insurance and coverage that Lord only knows who else is going to pay for it. But they don't want to make any changes because they're afraid if we solve any part of the problem that there won't be enough impetus to go the whole way.
Mm-hmm.
It's very frightening.
Imagine if a small business in Sheboygan could join a chamber, who's a member of a chamber of commerce, had an opportunity to buy insurance at a price and a level of quality that an employee of a GM plant or a labor union could their company was buying it at that kind of a discounted rate and that quality of service. Imagine if a little a little muffler shop in Sheboygan could do that. Well, that's what's possible with the association health plans.
Exactly. And the chamber or the National Federation of Independent Business or the National Association of Self-Employed would be a great member service that they want to compete to get the best deal, the best service for their members, and you start real competition going for health insurance, which is one of the things that's most lacking, especially in a lot of states that will have only one or two carriers left.
That's right. That's right. Well, what's Grace Marie? I've got about a minute. What are some last thoughts that you have on health care?
There are two. The most important thing is the two visions. Employers, and especially small business people, need to be able to know that their employees are taken care of, that they and their families have health insurance, but that becomes something that's managed by the employee, not only because they have new purchasing options through new kinds of pooling arrangements, but there's new money on the table, especially for low-income workers through refundable tax credits, and that people have the opportunity to save over the long term through health savings accounts. These are all part of President Bush's visionary agenda on health policy. The alternative is to turn back the clock, force employers to provide health insurance defined by the government, prices that will ultimately be set by the government, and expand in a major way government-run health insurance. Two very different visions.
Well said, Grace Marie. Give us your website one more time.
Galen, GALEN.org. Tim, pleasure to be with you, and please, everybody, go vote.
Thank you, Grace Marie. Grace Marie Turner, ladies and gentlemen, she's the best. She'll be back. I will be, too, after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.